Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
News Radio 1120 KMOX. I heard you missed us. We're back. Yeah. This is Overtime.
Are you ready?
You guys ready?
KMOX News Time, 8:33. I'm Debbie Monterey, and joining us here in Studio B is Charlie Brennan of The Charlie Brennan Show.
Good morning, everybody.
And Brad Young with the law firm of Harris, Dowell, Fisher & Young.
Hey, Debbie. Good morning.
All right. Another day, another mass shooting. Actually, it has been 12 days since our last mass shooting, which was Pittsburgh. But this morning, waking up to the news of Thousand Oaks, California, a city ranked among the safest in the country. It was at a country music bar that was having college night last night. So hundreds of college students there. At least 12 people are dead, including a police officer and the gunman. Charlie, your thoughts?
Well, of course, it's just another tragedy. Like you said, another day in the United States. It's way out of control. California has some of the most restrictive gun laws in the nation. To carry any firearm, you have to pass a test. And I don't know the details here. So we see these shootings all over the United States. It seems like every state has them. And thus far, hands are up in the air. We don't know what to do. We really don't.
Yeah, if there was an easy solution for these problems, we would have implemented those solutions by now, but there isn't. And you mentioned California and their gun laws. And look at Chicago. Look at the shootings that happen in Chicago every weekend, every week. There is no easy solution. I don't think just saying, well, we should get rid of all guns is easy to say, but difficult to implement.
Well, speaking of shootings, the students of Parkland, they, of course, energized or galvanized a lot of people in this country, including young people, when they registered thousands of people to vote after their high school was shot up by a gunman. But while they did register lots of people, they were unable to turn key races in their home state. Although both the governor's race and the Senate race in Florida were extremely close, at times even too close to call, both of the Republicans who won the Senate and governor's seat were endorsed by the NRA. In the House, 88 of 129 candidates backed by the NRA won their races. Does this surprise you, or do you think there were other factors in these wins, Brad?
Well, there's an assumption, Debbie, in the question that the thousands of younger voters who were registered to vote would have, by definition, voted against DeSantis and Rick Scott. And I don't think that's necessarily the case. I don't see supporting issues related to the NRA as being, pro-violence necessarily. I don't see those as being, you can't equate those two positions. So perhaps a lot of the people, the younger voters who were registered to vote, did in fact support DeSantis and Rick Scott. We don't exactly know until we see the demographic breakdown on that. But I don't necessarily think it's safe to assume that every young voter who was registered, by definition, voted against DeSantis and Rick Scott.
Well, it's almost ancient history now, what happened last spring when, after the Parkland shooting, there were rallies and there were marches, and it was the talk of the nation, right? And people thought, well, this might be a movement kind of like the Vietnam War, where people finally wake up and they're going to march to the polls and do something. And I'm sure that a lot of young people were registered. A lot of people did vote for candidates who wanted to restrict firearms or whatever, including Florida. And I'm sure they made some progress in some races, to achieve their goals, but not enough. And by the time November came around, frankly, there were other issues, from Brett Kavanaugh to the economy and other things, that got into people's minds. And I'm not even sure yet how many of these young people did end up voting. I guess we'll find out in the future when we take a look at more of the polling data. But I think it's a really interesting question, because a lot of media attention the likes of which we got in the spring doesn't necessarily mean there's going to be a difference at the ballot box. And we're learning that again and again.
All right. Yesterday, President Trump had a news conference, which was in many ways pure theater. It was more theatrical than many of his other news conferences. And one of the outcomes, CNN's chief White House correspondent Jim Acosta got his press pass yanked. So he is not allowed at the White House until further notice. He had a contentious back and forth with the president, who called him a terrible person and rude. And they tried to have somebody rip the microphone out of his hand at one point. Press Secretary Sarah Sanders says that his credentials were pulled not because he questioned the president, but because he placed his hands on a young woman just trying to do her job as a White House intern. I guess that's an interpretation of the video. I don't know if both of you have seen that already, but Charlie, should Acosta's press credentials have been yanked?
No, did not see him place his hand on that intern. I don't think she tried to rip the microphone. I think she reached for it, and then he held the microphone with the right hand, and with his left elbow, he kind of like guarded it. So I didn't think that his actions were improper. Certainly nothing that we haven't seen at like live events when people get a microphone, you know, even in one of our broadcasts, and, you know, they want to hold on to it to make their point. And, you know, I may not be the biggest fan of Jim Acosta, and yesterday it was pretty contentious between him and the president, no doubt, but I don't think that he did anything to warrant the revocation of his credentials.
Yeah, that troubles me, Charlie, that his credentials were suspended, and I suspect that those credentials will be reinstated in the not too distant future. But that doesn't mean that Jim Acosta is without fault here. I mean, even though his credentials maybe should not have been suspended, if you watch the video, and I listened to it several times, he asked the question, the president answered, and there was a lot of animosity between the two of them, but he did get to ask his question, and the president provided an answer, and then yet he would not give up the microphone. So he's not without fault. He was obviously not just asking a question. He was asserting his opinion. And at some point, it's time to move on to the next question. But he was unwilling to do that. So there's plenty of fault to go around on both sides here.
Hey, I'll tell you what. It's about 2.5 minutes long. We'll play that at about 9:05 or so. Don't have time right now. But we'll let some of the listeners be the judge of that one.
Overtime continues.
If you'd like to celebrate, I'd be okay with that.
On KMOX.
Love it!
It's 8:43, round two of Overtime. I'm Debbie Monterey, along with Brad Young of Harris Dahl Fisher & Young and Charlie Brennan of The Charlie Brennan Show. It was rumored to happen for quite some time, and it happened yesterday. The president fired Attorney General Jeff Sessions. And this ends the tenure of, I don't know how he lasted as long being, I don't know if I could be in a job if my boss was publicly ripping me all the time. But of course, it all started the bad blood when Sessions recused himself from the Russia investigation in the 2016 presidential campaign. Matthew Whitaker, who had been serving as Sessions' chief of staff, will replace him. Already, some people are urging Whitaker to recuse himself, and I'm sure that Whitaker's thinking, gee, we know how that went before. Brad, do you think that this is going to impact the investigation, or is it not really that important?
No, I don't see this as impacting the investigation at all, Debbie, and this is primarily why. Specifically now that the Democrats have taken control of the House of Representatives, there's going to be so much oversight going on in this. And so if Matthew Whitaker, as the acting attorney general, does anything to hinder this investigation, you're going to see subpoenas flying out of there, you know, faster than Jim Acosta left the White House yesterday. So I don't see this as having any big effect other than it gives the Democrats in the House talking points to go through everything that Matthew Whitaker ever said that's negative about the Russia investigation and to parade on television and talk about how biased he is. But the realistic effect of this is no effect.
Well, I disagree respectfully, of course. Whitaker was paid by a not-for-profit in his previous life prior to joining the White House, and he did argue against the Mueller investigation, in fact, advocated defunding it. Now for him to be overseeing it, you know, that's kind of a question. Also, there are some Republicans, not just a Democratic thing, but Mitt Romney, Susan Collins, and others have said that the president should state flatly that he's not going to stop the Mueller investigation. And in fact, some Republicans, I think including Lindsey Graham, have signed on to legislation which by statute would say that the president cannot remove Mueller except for good cause. And so I honestly do believe the Mueller investigation has gone on long enough, but it's not for one of the targets of it, the president, to decide if it should go on further or stop. So I'd be more comfortable if everyone just said, okay, there's going to be no interference with the Mueller investigation. This Whitaker fella should not oversee it at all. He should recuse himself as well.
All right, looking closer at the numbers in the Missouri Senate race, rural voters in Missouri were a big part of Claire McCaskill's loss to Josh Hawley. Now, McCaskill first won election to the Senate in Missouri in 2006, in part by cutting into Republican margins in rural areas and small towns. However, this time she lost those areas by a 2-1 margin. Was it, Charlie, an effect of her job performance? Was this just the age of Trump? And do you ever see a Democrat doing well in rural areas again?
Well, I don't know exactly. You know, I don't speak for rural Missouri. In 2006, of course, she got in with that midterm, and that's when Democrats did, you know, pretty well when George W. Bush was president. So there was that. And then in 2012, she benefited, luckily, I think, from the Todd Akin incident where, you know, he made some crazy remarks that got nationwide attention. She was running in a state that was 19.5 points ahead for Donald Trump. It's really not friendly territory. And she did vote against some things that people cherish, including the two Supreme Court nominees by the president, as well as the tax cuts. So, I guess it just wasn't her time.
Well, if the question is whether we can ever see a time when Democrats can do well in rural areas, the answer to that's clearly yes. And here's the reason why I believe that. Decades ago, the South was a solid Democrat bloc of voters. Now that has changed over time. And so it demonstrates that it's not necessarily locked in forever and ever. Amen. It could easily change back over time. Do we see that trend happening right now? Obviously not, but it doesn't mean that it couldn't happen again in the future.
It could have been the Kavanaugh vote because Joe Manchin is in West Virginia. That's a pretty rural state, right? And he's a Democrat and he won. He voted for Kavanaugh.
He did. And in fact, every senator in most areas, not even just, the senators who supported Kavanaugh in states that were won by Trump did well. Those senators in Trump-supported areas who voted against Kavanaugh lost. So there is some validity to that position, Charlie, because we do see a correlation there.
KMOX News Time is 8:48. We'll wrap up OT with round three after this.
This is Overtime.
Don't you understand? We can't stop ourselves.
News Radio 1120 KMOX.
All right, it's 8:51. Thanks for tuning in to the Thursday edition of Overtime. Charlie Brennan, Brad Young, Debbie Monterey. And let's talk about your entertainment options, gentlemen. A research firm found 1.1 million cable and satellite users cut the cord this summer, which is the largest drop ever for the industry. 5 years ago, 86% of households had cable or satellite. That is down to 78%. Brad Young, do you still have cable or satellite?
I do. And in fact, I have a horse and buggy parked in my driveway as well to go with that. And yeah, I still do. I have cable. And I'm one of the few still have cable. But when you look at it, obviously this trend is not going away. The trend against cable, the cord-cutting trend, is only going to continue. And really, folks like at CNN and ESPN are the ones who need to be really concerned about that because so much of the revenue at CNN and ESPN comes from the small fee that's paid by everyone who has cable. And as fewer and fewer people have cable television, that means less and less revenue for CNN, as ESPN and a lot of these other cable networks. Their business model is really flawed, and I don't know how they're going to survive 5 years from now.
You know, I will say I'm kind of a Luddite. I still have cable. I'm willing to look at all the alternatives. The cable service has been great. I mean, it doesn't go out, and it seems there's a lot of choices, but it's expensive. It's one of those many subscriptions I have that every month are a recurring fee on the credit card, and I'm kind of getting tired of it. And if anyone has a better alternative, I'm all ears.
Yeah, we had DirecTV, and we canceled it about 4 years ago. So we just have Netflix, Hulu, and Amazon Prime, and I'm totally fine with it. I don't miss it at all.
Now, how do you get local stations?
Yeah, on the regular TV. You just get a digital antenna. You get the local channels. So, yeah. The only thing is, what keeps people from doing it is their sports, because I can't really watch a Cardinals game. We have to buy the MLB package if we want to see a Blues game. So that's what stops a lot of people. Mm-hmm. But for us, it saves me $150 a month. Yay. Woo. Free Hot Soup Kansas City. It's a group that feeds the homeless community in the city, but they were recently told to stop by local authorities despite hungry families showing up to get food from the group. Authorities threw the food away, and we had a story the other day that they poured bleach on the food to make sure that it wasn't being served, because they say that the food cannot be served without a permit. Now, Free Hot Soup Kansas City has been assisting the homeless for 3 years by supplying food. Brad, should those feeding the homeless have permits?
Well, I hate to say this is what gives government a bad name, but that's exactly what it is. And you know, there's an idea, if you apply for a patent legally, you can still have a certain degree of protection when you say patent pending, even though the patent has not yet been granted. Now, why do I say that? Because in this situation, if authorities in Kansas City would say you have to be applying for a permit, and as long as you've applied for a permit to distribute food, we will give you a provisional okay to continue to do that while the government is reviewing your permit to do that. That seems to be a far better solution than pouring bleach on food that the homeless need to eat. That's ridiculous.
Now, had they applied for the permit, or had they just flouted the health inspection process?
I don't know. And so that's why we need to have some more facts. If it's a situation where they never even applied for a permit, I might be more sympathetic to their position.
Absolutely. Because however good the work they're doing, I mean, if they don't wash their hands or the cutlery or whatever, I mean, the homeless can get botulism or fecal oral hepatitis or whatever the case is that you can get from bad, you know, I mean, I think the whole thing is framed. Well, they're doing such good work. So what if the chef doesn't wash his hands after using the bathroom? You know, no, sorry, you have to follow the health inspection. And if you don't want these people to do it, then don't make McDonald's do it.
But you know, there's a solution to that. For example, there used to be a situation where restaurants would throw away food that they couldn't sell, and it could go to folks who needed it. But restaurants would never take the chance because they would get sued for that. So government passed law. Missouri did that. So now restaurants can give away food without the risk of being sued. That's a solution, not a problem.
All right. No. Okay. Pumpkin spice. Is that overdone? Are you sick of the craze, Charlie Brennan?
I'm not. I had pumpkin bread last night, and I love it.
Pumpkin spice too much?
It's gross.
Thank you. And overdone.
Gross.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.